This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Tell us about your, since wine is the main part of the business, and it's certainly probably the most capital intensive, given that I don't think you own any hop and wheat fields, or maybe you do, but...
No, we don't.
Tell us a wee bit about how you structure the vineyards, because I know you've owned some, you lease some, and you have contract growers. I think they're the three, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so we own some of the land, we lease the rest, and then the rest is through contract growers. It's a model that works well for us, and you know, we're likely to continue to expand on that basis. If you look across to Champagne, the model in Champagne is absolutely sort of the growers are supplying are the big Champagne houses. So none of the big Champagne houses are own and manage the land themselves. It's very much the model over there. So, I mean, in England, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Thinking across the different producers, you know, many of them will own their own land. So I think Knight Inver, for example, will in the main. We've got a split between the two of either owning or leasing or buying in from partner growers. And it, you know, it's served us well. We obviously do a lot of due diligence on the land that we lease and own. So there's a cracking site on the North Downs called Kits Coty. Mm-hmm. Kits Coty is a site that we own. It's about 100 acres, and that's producing our, you know, single vineyard super premium stuff. So that's gone down really well. And then more recently, we got a huge 388 acre site called Borley Farm, and we're leasing that. And that's contiguous with Kits Coty. So that's dead exciting because Kits Coty, the quality of the wines that's coming off that land is, as I say, award-winning. And then to have another 388 acres of the same quality, and some are arguing even better, is a fantastic bit of news. What's important for England is, yes, scale, but building scale of quality wines. And you know, boy, the North Downs is going to deliver.
How long is that lease run for?
25 years.
It's not that long, because normally grapes have a sort of 50-year life cycle, isn't it? So if you don't renew the lease, someone's going to inherit a set of vines in optimum condition.
I'm sure we'll negotiate well, but yeah.
I'm sure you will.
Or whoever's in place at that point. But yeah, it's a 25-year lease, yeah.
Okay. And you've also got your Tenterden site, which is the original site.
Yeah, Tenterden is the original site. So that's where the winery is, but that's a much smaller site. But it's important. It's the home of Chapel Down. It's where we get 60 to 70,000 visitors a year come through the site. Mm. Given how remote it is kind of extraordinary. That's where the home of Chapel Down is.
Let's just talk a wee bit about the wine products. You've got, yeah. I was just having a quick look through. You've got Chapel Down, you've got Tenterden, you've got your Kit Coty as a brand as well. Do you want to just tell us the source of the fruit for each of those and sort of its rough positioning?
Yeah, of course. So we basically got two brands. We've got Chapel Down, the core range, mm-hmm. and then we've got the single vineyard estate called Kits Coty. What I love about the Chapel Down range, and I think one of the reasons for its success in the market, is that at every price tier, you're genuinely offering bang for your buck. Let's start with still wines. Our volume still wines are called, they're Bacchus, which is a bit like Sauvignon Blanc, still rosé, and then a wine called Flint Dry, which is a blend of Chardonnay and early ripening German varietals. And those wines are priced sort of between 10 and 14 quid, that sort of price point. So, you know, an affordable entry point into English wine, and they really deliver. So they've been in national retail for a while now, but they're hugely popular and growing. So those wines are important on the still wine side. And then at the premium end, we do some small batch stuff on the Chapel Down range. So we do a Pinot Blanc, we do an Albarino in the right years, we do an Albarino Chardonnay blend. So there's some small batch premium wines. And then there's the single vineyard wines, so Kits Coty Bacchus and Kits Coty Chardonnay, which are just extraordinary wines, but they're at the more premium end. So 25 quid for the single vineyard Bacchus and 30 quid for the Kits Coty Chardonnay. But again, great value, I would say, even at that premium price point. So that's still wine. And then on sparkling wine, our entry traditional method is Brut. So that's £25, something like that. And then we have some premium wines, so Rosé Brut and Three Graces. And then you jump again to the top into the single vineyard. So we have a Blanc de Blanc from Kit's Coty, which is £40, and a Cœur de Cuvée, which is the middle cut of the wine. And that retails for £100 a bottle. Again, punchy in terms of price point.
Yeah.
But genuinely offering value for your money, because its competitor in that space would be wines like Dom Perignon and Krug. Dom Perignon and Krug would be selling for £150, something like that. And then the new one, which I'll mention last in our sparkling range, a bit controversial, ruffles a few feathers, but we don't mind that. And that's a non-traditional method. So to call it out, it's a carbonated Bacchus. And the reason we did that is it's Bacchus. So Bacchus is a young, fun wine, isn't meant to be. It won't benefit from aging. It won't benefit from secondary fermentation in bottle. So we fizzed it up, and it's a lower cost. So it retails £18 and pulses down to £15. That's flying. That's doing really well, and it's innovative, which is what England should embrace.
Is that the Bacchus with a touch of sparkle on your website?
That's the fella. In the current times, in mid COVID, it's unsurprisingly it's those wines at the entry level. So our entry level still wines, sparkling Bacchus, and then Brut, especially when it's pulsed down to £20 ish, that are flying. It's not to say the higher end stuff isn't selling, but it's the sweet spot at the moment is clearly those £10 to £25. It's that's the sort of sweet spot for people who are drinking at home or socializing online. They want to treat themselves, but they've got a budget.
Chapel Down used to push its Tenterden Vineyard, and you've still got that branding on your website. It has its own iconography on the bottles, etc. But you didn't mention Tenterden in this list. Is that because you're moving more to the larger Kit's Coty as your sort of premium site, or what's going on there?
Yeah, well, Tenterden's important because we do a vine lease scheme where people lease the vines at Tenterden, and then they get to pick the grapes, and then we make the wine, and then they take wines from Tenterden with their names on it. So it's a really fun bit of activity, and that's from Tenterden. But as in terms of the wine itself, Tenterden's a perfectly fine as a site, which is it's a very good site, but it's nothing like the quality of Kit's Coty. So on the wine side, we make a lot more noise, and we focus a lot more on Kit's Coty because the wines are genuinely world class. Whereas Tenterden is very, very good, but it's not quite at the same level.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because last time I interviewed you guys, which was, I will say, probably about 15 years ago, I think Fred Thomas was just taking over at the time. Tenterden was where that you guys were focusing on the premium. And I think you're starting to lease some vineyards at that stage. So it was like Tenterden was the premium, and the lease vineyards were the next tier down, so to speak. And it's interesting now that you've done this big planting, you've got a better site, so you can sort of see how things have changed over time.
Yeah, that is interesting, yeah.
Just touching on a little bit of COVID-type situation, COVID-19.
Yeah.
You mentioned you've got a new brewery, but I understand you had to mothball it just recently because the beer sales hasn't been going as well as you'd like, and you've basically got to work through some stock.
What's
there?
I think you summarise it well. It's wine is growing, and it's growing despite 30% of our sales being in the on-trade. So growth in the national retail and online is absolutely flying because overall we're doing well. Beer is a different situation. So 80% of our volumes on beer are sold through the on-trade. So that's that's really had a short-term impact on it. So it is mothballed for the minute. We are selling. We're selling through Waitrose. We're selling through Majestic. We're selling through the pubs and restaurants and bars as they open up. The outlook for the on-trade actually looks pretty bleak. So,
two stories in the wine trade at the moment. There's the small producers who sell cellar door, and they're being pretty much wiped out by COVID-19. And then you've got the large players who're selling through supermarkets and those sort of channels. And because the trade's shut down, the sales through the supermarkets and the major multiples has sort of gone through the roof a little bit. What is your main route to market? Because you've got your Tenterden site, but you've also got listings in Waitrose and other supermarkets.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think English wine at the moment is those that have got national retail listings or an advanced e-commerce business will be faring okay. Those guys who are heavily or solely reliant on the on-trade, it's going to be tough. I mean, it kind of snookered, and that's quite a few producers. So it's a pretty tough time for many in the industry. Our weighting is we're much more heavily in the off-trade than on-trade. So we're kind of weathering the storm in that sense pretty well. And that's growing year on year. I'm not complacent about it. There's a lot to work on with our partners in the supermarkets. But the massive one to focus on is our online sales. So that's really taken us by surprise, pleasantly. Oh, yeah. And I think there's a lot to get after. Because you think we had a bit, you know, like everyone, we had a bit of a flash in the pan or what seemed like a flash in the pan in March. We thought, great, but you know, presumably there's an argument it will go back down, but it's just going and going. So okay. my outlook on e-commerce is really, really I think it's something to really invest and focus on. And I think there's some of it as well is consumer habits stick, right? So you sort of I don't know what you're like, but there are certain things that I've done since lockdown or since the start of COVID. I sort of purchasing stuff online that I probably would never have done before. But once you've done it and you realize how easy and simple it is, and actually in some cases quite fun to be on the website and interacting and listening to people, you know, cocktail masterclasses and all that, and then on the back of you order products. Once you've done it once, there's going to be quite a decent percentage that will be up for doing it again. And even when the on-trade opens back up. So my position on it is let's invest and let's get the systems and processes right, and let's bring in people to make sure we do a really good job at it.
What's the breakdown just before COVID-19 between online and retail and on-trade, off-trade and online?
Yeah, so I mean, our off-trade sales would be about 60%, 30% on-trade and 10% direct.
Oh, okay. Saying that you think online sales are going higher, what do you think the upshot of that will be after everything settles down sometime mid next year?
Oh, I don't know. It's difficult for us because we're listed. It's difficult. Well, it's important. I can't comment on our future sales or
okay.
Way bigger, if that's a good enough headline. I think there's a lot to get after, and there's reasons to be to believe in it as well. We're not the only ones, but we look at our growth on online since the start of March, and it's dead exciting. I mean, it would be crazy not to to invest behind it. I mean, the headroom for growth for English wine is exciting. You know, there's a few in English wine who are a bit concerned about the stock levels currently. So 18 and 19 harvests were very, very high. Personally, from a Chapeldown perspective, it's great because we've been really struggling in terms of having enough supply to keep up with demand. So we're much happier now than we were previously in that respect. But I think some within English wine who suddenly have these much higher stock levels and don't have the outlets, so they don't have the off-trade distribution through which to sell them, things could get pretty tough. And we at Chapeldown, we've been pretty open about it. You know, our ambition is to, we see that there will be consolidation in the industry, and we want to play a role. It's a pretty open secret in that respect.
How far away do you think, because there's not, I'm not aware of any consolidation really happening at this stage. As far as I can see, there's still new investment going in as opposed to consolidation. So what sort of time frame do you think that would be?
It's not an exact science, but for those reasons we just said, the big harvest coming in and the current situation in terms of being able to sell the stock, you know, whatever the timings were, it's definitely accelerated. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some level of consolidation in the next 2 to 3 years. In fact, to put it another way, I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case, because I think it could get pretty tough for some.
Yeah. Okay, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Lovely talking to you.
Cheers.